Amen. Well, we're happy to pinch hit to fill in for Pastor on tonight. But I will say this, nobody can deliver a Wednesday night hour power sermon like Pastor Hagin. So we thank God for our pastor. We love him, and he and Mrs. Hagin and Pastor Craig and Pastor Denise, of course. So,
well, how you doing, saints? Anybody glad to be in the house of God? Did anybody come here saying, I'm going to hear from God tonight? God, you've got something good for me. Amen? God, how many know God's always got something good for his people? And where there's a faith-filled listening ear, God is speaking. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, this has been a busy week for our state, hasn't it? Man, thunder up. How about those thunder, huh? Any thunder fans in here? Oh, we got some thunder shirts. We got a lot of hands back here. Anybody get to go to the parade? Yeah, there's some hands. A few people. My sons went to the parade. I said, oh, Lord, there ain't no way I would go to that parade. Not just that parade, any parade. You know, thinking me, I just think differently. I ain't standing out in the heat. That's just Bill, you know, something I can see on TV. They said, but we got to fist bump some of the players. I said, I'll fist bump my TV before I go all the way down there in the air conditioning. No, they had a good time. I went in. I got a haircut today. I went and see my barber. My barber said, you know, yesterday, he said, I went down to the Thunder Parade. I said, oh, man, so did my sons and my grandson. They went to the Thunder Parade, too. I said, did you enjoy it? He said, oh, yeah, I enjoyed it. He said, you didn't go? I said, oh, no, there ain't no way I'm going to stand out in the heat. I said, how long did you have to wait after you got there? They said, well, we waited a little over 3 hours. So they had an hour and a half drive, wait 3 hours. I said, nah, I ain't the one. I'm glad you went. I told him, I'm glad you went. You had fun. Y'all had fun. I'm glad. There's nothing wrong with that. How many know God wants us to enjoy life? God has provided a way for us as believers to enjoy life. Aren't you glad about that? You can go and have fun. You can laugh and cheer. There's nothing wrong with cheering for your team. I will add as a caveat, if you know, they say there were 600,000 people down there in Oklahoma City. If 600,000 people can cheer like that, all I would say is we can at least do that much for Jesus. I said, Jesus has conquered principalities. Jesus has conquered kingdoms. Jesus has accomplished our redemption. Jesus has accomplished our salvation. Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. So there's nothing wrong with rooting for your team. But when you don't be silent when you come to church, if I can see you holler like that, I don't want you to be silent when you come to church before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. So it's good to root for our team. You know, the other thing about that is that, you know, I started thinking, you know, all those people, 600,000 people went to the parade. And they had a great time. And I don't want anybody to think I'm against. I'm for that. I'm glad they had a good time. Nothing wrong with cheering for your team. But I started thinking, you know, of the victory that they won, all the 600,000 people cheering for them didn't really get anything for the victory. I said, did they give you a free t-shirt? No. I said, did they give you, you're going to get one of the rings? No. They're going to give you a free hat? No. They're going to give you one of them checks? No. Well, what did you get from going down? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying anything wrong with it. But they really got a warm feeling. They got a fun feeling. Their team won. I saw one girl on TV. She said, this is the best day of my life. I hollered at the TV, you need to get a life. The best day of my life was when I met Jesus. Ain't no day like that. What are you saying? I'm saying, listen, that victory wasn't shared. I mean, it is in the sense that you get a nice feeling. You get a warm feeling. Your team won and you feel like a winner because they won. I get it. There's not a thing wrong with that. But really, in the reality of it all, the thousands upon thousands of dollars that they will get for winning the game, the Thunder, are any of the fans getting that? They ain't getting a dime. The thousands and thousands of dollars at the ring, they're all pointing to their finger, pointing to the finger about the ring. Are any of the fans getting a ring? They're not getting a single ring. When they're on TV saying, we're going to Disneyland. Any of the fans getting to go? No. What are you talking about, Brother Bill? The victory that Jesus won is the only victory that's ever been shared with every single recipient. The same victory that he won is the same. Oh, I wish I had an amen in here. It's the same victory that we got. Hallelujah. So we got righteousness because he was righteous. We got forgiven because he bore our sins on the cross. He gave us authority over devils and demons and evil spirits. He gave us the promises of his word to make sure that we would walk in victory in this realm. And so we have his word on it. We have his promises. Amen. So that we will share and walk in the same victory. So what the thunder did, that was all right. That was just all right. There wasn't nothing wrong with that. But the victory that Jesus won, now that's something to really cheer about. Because we share in it. Tonight, there is a hymn, an old hymn. And I want to read the words of this old hymn, if you will. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. It's an old time hymn. Listen to the Hagins as they're teaching and ministering. Occasionally, Mrs. Hagin will mention that, or Pastor will mention that. And usually, Pastor will mention it, and Mrs. Hagin will throw up the words to him. She'll yell out the words of the hymn. She knows the whole hymn by heart. I want to read you these powerful words from this hymn. Every promise in the book. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. All are blessings of his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. All are blessings of his love divine. Every promise in the book of mine. Listen to the second verse. By his stripes, the book says, I'm healed. Until the day of redemption, the book says, I've been sealed. According to the same book, to prosper and to be in health is right in line because every promise in the book is mine. I don't know about you, but I like that. And as I was asking the Lord what to minister on a few days ago, man, this this title dropped down into my spirit. So I went and looked it up, of course, found that hymn, Every Promise in the Book is Mine. So this is the title of this message tonight. Every promise in the book is mine. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, every promise in the book is mine. Tell your neighbor every chapter, every verse, and every line. It's really true when you think about it. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, from the New American Standard, and I have most of the verses here from New American Standard, some New Living, and I think I have one King James and one Passion Translation in here tonight. But 2 Corinthians 1:20 seems to suggest this same sentiment that every promise in the book is mine. 2 Corinthians 1:20, New American Standard. For as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. That seems to suggest the same message that this hymn is conveying. That all the promises of God to you and I are yes and amen. Glory to God. God's already answered yes to his promise. Then over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, 2 Peter 1, 4 from the King James Version, it says, whereby has been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I like that. That seems to suggest the same sentiment that every promise in the book is mine. So when I read 2 Corinthians 1:20, when I read 2 Peter 1:4, it gives me that same sense. God has made me a promise and he's waiting on me to believe it. Every promise in the book belongs to those who are in Christ. And if you're in Christ, then you should be excited tonight because every promise in the book belongs to you. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you will receive it, you'll benefit from every single promise in God's word. Let me say three important things about the promises of God, about the promises of God. Number one, God's promises are transferable. Everybody say transferable. We're talking about the promises of God. What's the title of this message? You help me. What's the title of this message? Every promise in the book of mine is mine. So point number one, God's promises are transferable. They're transferable. They're transferable through covenant, and they're transferable through faith. That is, the victory that Jesus won, he passed on to every single member of the body of Christ. And even the person that's been born again for 30 seconds, Jesus passed that authority, that same victory, his name, the use of the blood, the word. He passed all of that on to every single believer. Somebody who's been born again 30 seconds, they may not know that. And that's why we're to be disciples. That's why we're to be New Testament taught. But the promises of God are transferable. That is, they were not just made for, although you can identify some things that were said to a certain individual in some cases, but talking generally about the promises of God, anything that benefits kingdom living, let me say it like that, they're transferable to every single member of the body of Christ. And when we realize that, it'll help us to take advantage of that. Galatians 3:29. I said they're transferable through covenant because Galatians 3:29 in the New American Standard says this: and if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's descendants, heirs according to what? According to promise. Yeah. And so the scripture is telling us right there, because of the covenant that God made with Abraham, he made that covenant. That covenant was extended by faith through all of God's people, Israel, and by faith through all of God's people, the body of Christ. And so if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. So in Galatians, same verse, Galatians 3:29 in the New Living, listen to Galatians 3:29 in the New Living. It says, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham, you are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Says it pretty clear there, doesn't it? Yeah. What are you saying? I'm saying the promises of God are transferable to you and I. You see, if we don't realize those promises are transferable, we'll never claim them for ourselves. They're not only transferable through covenant, they're transferable and enacted through faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 in the King James. Hebrews 4:2. Some of these King James version scriptures in here, when I memorized some of these scriptures a long time ago, some of them I memorized in King James. So sometimes I'll quote a scripture in King James only because that's the way I memorized it. I don't want to go back and memorize it another scripture. For unto us was the word preached as well as unto them. But the word, listen now, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Somebody says, how could the word not profit somebody if you don't mix it with faith? That's why it's so important. You can't come to church like a bump on a log. You got to come to church and release your faith. You got to come to church saying, I'm gonna hear from God. I'm putting out my faith, Lord. Go ahead and speak because your servant is listening. I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, it shouldn't matter really whoever comes to the pulpit to speak. It shouldn't matter to you. You ought to have your faith out there saying, Lord, if they send Mickey Mouse up there, I'm going to hear from you. You got a message from Mickey tonight. Or Brother Bill, whatever the case is. But the point is, don't get caught up in the messenger. Make sure, listen, don't sit there like a bump on a log. Release your faith as you're hearing the word. Here the scripture says, this group of people, the word didn't benefit them because they did not mix it with faith as they were listening to it. And you and I have a responsibility, an obligation to mix the word with faith. Why? Without faith, it's impossible to what? It's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There's no way to please God without faith. And so God has made all of these wonderful promises to you and I, not for us to just sit there and look at them. He's made wonderful promises to you and I for you and I to enact them by faith and to walk in victory in this realm. So the promises of God are transferable. Number two, the promises of God are transplantable. Everybody say transplantable. You say, Brother Bill, you're just trying to give out big $10 words tonight. No, I assure you. I'm not. The promises of God are first transferable. That should encourage you and I that we should be believing. We should be extending our faith to receive. But the promises of God are not just transferable. The promises of God are transplantable.
Where we need help so often is in our mind, our emotions, in our will, in our soul area, and in our body is typically where we need a lot of help. And because of that, we've got to get the Word of God down on the inside of us. Why? So that our thinking can change. Because if we don't change our thinking, how many know? Wrong thinking leads to wrong believing. And we're not going to get the walk in the victory that Christ has paid for us. We're not going to walk in it if we start out with wrong thinking. Because wrong thinking is going to lead us to wrong believing. And so what are you saying? I'm saying the Word is transplantable. I was saw a testimony of a man. He was on a CBN program, and he was testifying how he received a transplant of his liver, of his kidney, and of his pancreas, and lived through every single one of those transplants and was thriving and doing well. He was giving the glory to God. He said they took a liver from somebody else and transplanted it in me. They took a pancreas from somebody else. They transplanted that in me. He said they took a kidney from somebody. They transplanted that in me. And he lived and was given the glory to God. The Word of God is transplantable. And how many know there are sometimes in areas where we might have stinking thinking, where we need to get rid of certain patterns of thought, sometimes steeped in wrong tradition sometimes. And we need to transplant those wrong thoughts, that wrong thinking. We need to transplant that, what? With God's Word. We need to take the Word of God and transplant the Word of God down on the inside of us to replace that wrong thinking, that stinking thinking. And so how do we do that? How do we transplant the Word? You know, God told Joshua how to do it. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You know what God was effectively giving Joshua? The plan to transplant the Word down on the inside of him. The scripture says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. We've got to take control. God has given you and I the power to take control of our thoughts. To take control of every single thought. And how many know? Every single thought we have is not worthy of us allowing that thought in our mind. My cousin sent me a FedEx package and they had the wrong address on it. I went over there to try to get the package because it was had dry ice. She sent us some filet mignon steaks. Ooh, bless you, girl. It was in dry ice. They had the wrong address. And so we went over to the place to get it. Oh, man, they got the place on lockdown. Can't get in there. Go in there, glass, you know, bulletproof glass everywhere. Tried to get to the counter, locked gates, got locked in the gate. Security guard came out and said, "What do you want?" I said, "I'm looking for a package." We ought to be that way about thoughts trying to get into our mind. We ought to have locked gates and bars. And Jesus has given us a bazooka called the Word of God. I said, "Amen." And every unchecked thought that tries to get into our mind, we ought to say, "What do you want?" The wrong thought knocks on your mind. Some people just open the door and say, "Come on in." The thought says, "I'm here from the pit of hell to destroy you. Come on in." No, we ought not be like that. We ought to be able to say, "You ain't getting in here. You got the wrong address." We ought to check every incorrect thought, every wrong thought, wrong thinking. Wrong thinking is our demise so much of the time. Keeps us from walking at the level of victory that Jesus wants us to walk. You know one thing about God, he'll bless us as far as he can. He'll always help us. He's so good. Somebody say he's good. He's so good. He'll always help us as far as he can. But oftentimes God wants you and I to walk in a higher level of victory than we're walking in. Can I get amen there? But to do that, we're going to have to take control of our thoughts. And when a wrong thought shows up, we ought to say, "What do you want? I've come here to destroy you." And that's when we ought to cock the 12-grade shotgun that Jesus has given us. Click, click. Kaboom. Shoot it down with the gospel gun. Because the Word is transplantable. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. Same thing. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its own season. Its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. How do we transplant the word of God on the inside of us? Through biblical meditation. Meditating on the word of God. When? Day and night. Meditating on God's word. Christ gave us his love. Christ gave us his righteousness. They were transplanted on the inside of us when we became New Testament believers. And today, his righteousness is our righteousness. His victory is our victory. His love has been shed abroad in our hearts. Romans 5:5. His love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. His love was transplanted down on the inside of us when we gave our life to Jesus. Aren't you glad about that? And when you meditate on his love, that love won't let you hate anybody. Somebody said, I hate so-and-so. No, that love, if you're a New Testament believer, you ought to meditate on that love. It won't let you hate anybody. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. God's word is transferable. Listen to me. God's word is transplantable. And thirdly tonight, finally, God's word is transformational. Say that with me, transformational. His promises should produce a lifestyle change in you and I. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So the word and the spirit completely transform the lives of the early New Testament believers. And the Word and the Spirit are transforming the same lives of the believers in Jesus. The Word and the Spirit are transforming our lives today. There was a time when Peter was afraid and timid, following Jesus at a distance, cursing and refusing to be seen with him. But his life was transformed by the Word and the Spirit. And you read especially those first 12 chapters of the book of Acts, and the mighty power of God flows through Peter with boldness again and again and again. What happened to him? His life was transformed by the word and the spirit. The promises of God are transformational. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. Verse 20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us, and we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, the scripture says this, work at living in peace with everyone, work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 8 says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. We're not going to win this world to Christ if as the body of Christ, we look just like the world. We can't win the world if we look just like the world. What will we have that they don't, that they want? We won't have anything they want. But there ought to be a lifestyle change because the promises of God are transformational. Let's talk about this as I wind down tonight. Listen, there is a promise. Let's look at this. There is a promise of his plan for your life. Can you say amen to that? I said there's a promise of his plan for your life. How many know God has a good plan for your life? How many, God's made it already, it's already been good. How many of you can say, my life's already been good, with Jesus already been good. But you know what? God's not done being good to you. And his love is getting gooder and gooder. The old folks used to say, you know, God's not done being good to you. And so there is the promise of his plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. In the New Living Translation, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. How many know that sounds good? How many want that kind of life? I said, amen. John 10:10 in the New American Standard. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. How many know that sounds good? Abundant life, abundant living. I said, there is a promise of his plan for your life. 3 John, verse 2, beloved, I pray and that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. Amen. I said, I have read you a promise that is transferable. And listen, we read from Jeremiah into John, into 3 John, and not only is it transferable, it's transplantable. When you get this word on the inside of you, somebody may say, well, I have trouble believing that God has good things for me. I have trouble believing that God has a good plan for me. Then you need to transplant his word. Take the 3 scriptures I gave you tonight and start meditating on that and start getting your mind renewed in the area of God's plan for your life. I said, God's not done being good to you. Somebody said, only bad things happen to me. Well, you need to transplant the word of God in your mind. Change that wrong thinking. Change that stinking thinking. So there is a promise of his plan for your life. But listen, there's a promise of his presence. How many are glad for his presence? There's a promise for his plan, but there's a promise now for his presence. Exodus 3, verse 12. You know what the Lord said to Moses? He said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. That's what God told Moses. And then, but in Joshua 1:5, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, you know what God said to Joshua? The same thing. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. What did God want Joshua to know? That his promises were transferable. God wanted not Joshua not just to look at Moses and say, well, God, you sure were with Moses. Huh? He wanted him to understand, just like I was with Moses, I'm with you. And he wants you to understand, just like he was with Moses, just like he was with Joshua, he's with you right now. I said, I wish I had somebody to say amen to that. There is a promise of his plan. There is a promise of his plan, but there is a promise of his presence. In Hebrews 13:5, the scripture says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? It sounds to me like the same promise that God made to Moses is the same promise that God made to Joshua, and it's the same promise that God has made to you. I wish I had an amen. Because the promises of God has a promise. He has a promise of his plan for your life, of his good plan. He has a promise of his presence. Listen to me. He has a promise of his power. He has a promise of his power. What do you mean there? His power to heal is what I'm talking about specifically. His power will do anything you need, but I'm talking specifically his power to heal. Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26, the promise of his power. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, do what's right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. God told Israel, he said, I'm your healer, I'm your healer. And the scripture says when they marched out of Egypt, there was not one feeble person among them. They say there was at least 1 million to 2.5 million of them that marched out of Egypt, and he healed every one of them when they marched out. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Amen. Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. There is the promise of his good plan for your life. I said there is the promise of his presence. There is the promise of his power to heal. There is the promise of his provision. I ought to have one amen in here tonight. There is a promise of his provision for you. Psalm 34, verse 9 and 10. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Somebody ought to say amen. Somebody ought to say, you reading about me. You reading about me. Matthew 6:32. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 33 of Matthew 6. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The promise of his provision. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply. Everybody say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Well, I'm talking about you. You ought to say amen there. There is the promise of his good plan. There is the promise of his presence. There is the promise of his power to heal. There is the promise of his provision. There is the promise of his peace. I wish I had an amen. Isaiah 26:3, he said, I will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed on me. Our job is to keep our mind stayed on him. And his job is to keep us filled with peace. Perfect peace. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I give you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Amen. Scripture said, don't let your heart be afraid. Jesus said, I'm giving you Jesus said, I'm giving you my peace. It's my peace. I'm putting my peace on you. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Philippians 4:6-7 said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then the peace of God, and then the peace of God, and then the peace of God, and then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart. And somebody help me. And your mind. Aren't you glad about that? God's peace will work as a garrison around our heart and our mind. Glory to God. There is the promise of his peace. Somebody said, I sure don't feel peace. Well, you need to take his word and let his word get transplanted on the inside of you in that area. Yes. See, if you're not experiencing peace, you need to transplant the word. Yes. There's some wrong thinking you need to get rid of. Because you cast your cares on the Lord. The Bible says, cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. Amen. Cast your cares over on him. And you'll experience his mighty peace that will form a garrison around your heart and a garrison around your mind. I've been in some undesirable situations sometimes in my life. Now, thank God I've had so many more desirable situations than not. But my good's always outweighed my bad. But during times when I've faced challenge and when I have faced, you know, the chilly winds of adversity, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. I mean, my sweet mama, she used to tell me, boy, you got to worry about stuff. Now you come here talking about that peace. Now I know God is real, the Bible's real, but you got to worry about some stuff. I said, no, you don't, Mom. You're wrong, baby. No, you don't. You don't have to worry about a thing. I told you a story one time how the Lord caused me to find her glasses. She couldn't find her glasses. She'd been up looking for her glasses 3 hours. She couldn't find her glasses, looked all over. She had just got them. And she had spent all of her money on her glasses. I was home from college. I'd been quoting, you know, we don't have to worry about a thing. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And she kept saying, now, boy, you got to worry about some stuff. And I kept saying, no, Mom, you don't have to worry about a thing. Turn it over to the Lord. Quote his word. And she was crying, and I got up and said, Mom, what's the matter? What's crying? She said, I can't find my glasses. I can't find my glasses. I just got them. I said, you don't have to worry, Mom. She said, there you go again, boy. There you go again. You got to worry. I said, come on, let's pray. And I held her hands, just said a little simple prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, show my mama that you don't have to worry. Show her where her glasses are. Just instinctively, just down on the inside. Just down on the inside. I felt like this. Just stoop down and reach your hand under the bed. And I just stooped down like that and reached my hand under the bed. You know what I came up with? Her glasses. When I came up with her glasses, my mama backed up from me like this. Her eyes got real big. She said, if you weren't my son and if I weren't in the room, I would never believe it. She said, but I just saw it. She said, I looked under that bed 3 times on my hands and knees. I heard her on the phone talking to her girlfriend later that night. Girl, we ain't got to worry about nothing. The word is true. Let me conclude tonight. We're just about out of time. But what I want you to know and be reminded of by the Holy Spirit is that every promise in God's word belongs to you. If you're watching tonight and you need Christ, here are a few more of his precious promises that you need to know. Number one, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You need to know, if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You need to know if you've made a mistake tonight. You might be a believer. Maybe you made a mistake. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, purify us from all unrighteousness. If you're a Christian, you need to realize that we have a soon coming King. And you need to keep this promise in front of you, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Tonight, you may have a problem, but your Father God has got a promise. And if you'll count him as faithful who has made the promise, then the promises of his word will come to pass in your life, because every promise in the book is yours. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored to share what you laid upon our heart tonight, and we know that there's separate application for each person who's heard this message. I ask you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to do what only you can do. That is to confirm your word with relevant personal application in the life of each person listening. We trust you and we look to you, and we know that for every problem, there is a precious promise. And Father, help us to do a better job relying on your awesome, exceeding, great, precious promises. We'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you're here tonight, you need someone to agree with you in prayer. Our prayer partners are coming. They're already down here. And these folks are anointed. They're ready to pray with you. And they'll agree with you in prayer. You won't leave here like you came. Whatever you need from the Lord. You want salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit? Just want somebody to agree. Ladies, come to the ladies. Guys, come to the guys. Anything else, Pastor Rob? All right. Well, listen, let's keep our pastors in prayer. You be here Sunday morning, power-packed Sunday morning, Word of God. Be here ready to receive. God bless you, one and all.